America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea with a rollicking song he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube.
Hello, YouTube.
Good morning, YouTube.
Cat pervert.
We are cat perverts. Dirt and Sprague are with you. The Vancouver Ford text line is 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com. I don't know who or why that got started in media, people. Oh, do this.com.
I love when the local news people do that, too. You get a lot of that on local news, like doing a live hit. You can't just be like, yo, this is Bob out in Beaverton. See you later. You always got to end it with like a jingle with your voice.
I'm Shirley Swirly.
Yeah, that's
back to you, Channel 2.
K-A-T-U. You get a lot of those.
Talk like a human.
Yeah, that's my whole thing with Joe Davis. Can't wait to listen to him tonight.
Really?
Yeah, he's too broadcastery for me.
I mean, he does definitely put on a voice.
I'm a Kevin Burkhardt guy. That's why Kevin Burkhardt just seems like a bro calling a game. He's just out there having fun. Joe Buck, I think, has gotten there. It's just
really,
that's my cup of tea. I genuinely miss Joe Buck calling baseball.
Because
that was
Joe
my
Buck.
Entire life.
Yeah.
It's like the way people grew up with Vin Scully calling national games or whatever. Like, that was Joe Buck for me. My entire life of World Series is Joe Buck until a couple of years ago.
We'll probably get back into the World Series at some point in the program. It is a Sprague and Friday, so get those Sprague and Line sponsors in at the Vancouver Ford text line that I mentioned, 503-864-6326.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
26. I am laying some big wood today.
Lay the big wood.
Absolutely. I hate to do it because I'm a jinx at this point, but yeah, I'll be laying some big wood today.
The big wood's still in here?
My Beavs looking to wreck the woke agenda this weekend down Berkeley.
Yeah, they've lost like five in a row.
Nobody's going to show up for that game. That's the beauty.
There will not be a lot of people at Cal Stadium this weekend, I would imagine.
I think they've abandoned that team since game day left, and they blew that 25-point lead.
Yeah, you shouldn't have lost that game. That was inexcusable.
I'm seeing an opportunity. And I even picked against my team.
You did yesterday.
For, like, the reverse jinx stuff. So we'll see. Do we talk Blazers-Pelicans at all? I think we could get a 1-1 Blazer team after tonight.
I think the entire final hour is going to be Blazers-Pelicans today. Coming up in an hour, we're going to get to that. Matchups, what kind of zone are you going to play?
It's a back-to-back, too, because they're here Sunday.
Yeah, an afternoon game.
Yeah, an afternoon Sunday game.
3 o'clock game.
Yeah.
It's great.
Definitely be glued to that.
The Fightin' Illini are coming to town.
That they are, Bob.
How about that? Big Ten matchup.
Catch the fever.
Brett Bielema.
Yes.
Altmaier.
Whooped his ass in a Rose Bowl, and now we're going to whoop his ass at Autzen.
Lanning whooped his ass when he was at Bama, played against him in Arkansas. How about that, huh? Bielema coming to town. Nothing more exciting than Brett Bielema.
Bielema's the only coach we've ever interviewed that sent us a thank you card after.
I actually do genuinely think he's a good dude. I enjoy listening to his press conferences. You just think of Big Ten football when you think of Bielema. I'll never forget the shock when he left for Arkansas in the middle of the night of like, wait, what? You've been... I think he won back-to-back Big Ten championships in Wisconsin. Like, that thing was full steam ahead. And he said, peace, I'm out of here. And the dominoes that that led to, him going to Arkansas, I believe, led to Gary Anderson getting that job.
At Wisconsin.
And then Gary Anderson took the Oregon State job. It just ended up being a whole domino thing that affected programs all over the country.
Which led to Jonathan.
Yes, it did.
Which then led to us getting kicked out of the Pac-12. This is all Brett Bielema's fault.
I think it is. Full circle.
That's what you just told me there.
Screw Brett Bielema.
Connecting all the dots.
Damn it, Brett.
It's a much better game than obviously what we had last week, where some Duck fans told themselves, "Oh, got to be alert for Purdue." Like, no, you don't.
You never
sucks.
Know.
I've seen them.
No,
play.
It was just all about how the Ducks handled themselves after the win on a short week on the road.
What I think it really was, though, it was the Illinois game with Purdue, and I said this on the show. Illinois clearly got up by 20, and they had a look ahead spot of like, we got Michigan next week. We want to win that game.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Purdue's on fire. Oh, my God, we're not in rhythm. Here we go, wild game. We won by one. Illinois, I think, is going to come in, and they want to play smash-mouth football. We'll hear from Dan Lanning coming up. I saw a little interesting note. Oregon, according to 24/7, is the leader right now in recruiting for Blue Bloods.
For their 2025 recruiting class, yeah.
Yeah.
A higher percentage of recruits are Blue Bloods at Oregon than any other program.
88%. Yeah. And we've talked about what the season has meant. Dan Lanning talked about this a little bit yesterday with Isaac and Suk of responding, rebounding, gathering yourself. Like, he was asked, can you name a couple players that have improved? And he said, I could. But I won't, right? But he did kind of say, like, the team in general, he seems very happy with the way that they've come together post the Idaho-Boise State start to their season. And I just keep thinking about, we talked about Dylan Gabriel and what he has meant for them. What this season just kind of means for Dan Lanning and Oregon as a program looking to take that step. Every year that they've recruited well, even with Mario, it was always like, yeah, it's really good. And then you look at the five-star column, one.
Yeah.
And now this is a, if you can achieve certain things season, and look at the recruiting show now, this is one of those, like, does this finally take you to a level that you're always in that largely, like, four schools have ever been in?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're clearly heading in that direction. No matter how this season ends, I don't think you need to win a national championship this year in order for that to happen. I think having the number of recruits they did on campus for the Ohio State game was massive. That was one of the biggest wins in program history, one of the biggest home wins in the history of the program. And so to have guys there to witness it is only going to pay dividends for you for years to come. They got a lot of big-name kids coming in town this weekend. That seeing that stat, there's little things like that that will pop up from time to time that just blow my mind. And I'm as optimistic and homer as you could possibly be. And I see that, and I'm just like, God, that they have the seventh-ranked recruiting class in the country. And you're like, okay, they've been higher in other years. The reason they're seventh is because they have a lower commit total. They only have like 13 commits. Some of the other schools ahead of them, I think, have 20 or 21.
And USC is behind you, and they have like four or five more.
More commits, yeah. And they're ranked behind you. And it's because it's just the quality of the kids. And when you look at the rest of the guys that Oregon is going after, they're trying to flip an offensive lineman from Central Catholic who is currently committed to Washington. I think he's a three-star commit. Every other kid that they're in the mix for, You're talking four or five star guys, some of the highest ranked commits in the country, or recruits, I should say, in the country. And so I think you're clearly heading in that direction. And this has always been the thing about Lanning, like even with those painful losses last year that I remember arguing in the aftermath of the Washington game of college football's unique. Like you're zeroed in on the week to week and how the team's playing right now, while also I think having an eye towards where's the overall health of the program, where's the direction. Like there's a massive difference between having a good season and having a good program. Teams can have a good season. Florida State had a great season last year. How's the overall health of their program? Indiana is having an awesome season right now. The recruiting class is like 74th in the country. So you hit the lottery in the portal for 1 year. Are you going to be able to do it again next year? Is the recruiting going to catch up? Like, it's one thing to have a good year. Mm-hmm. It's another to have an overall healthy program. There's no doubt that Oregon's been building towards that, even with the tough, painful losses last season. And now you get back-to-back opportunities. Like, a lot of jokes were made early in the season, and rightfully so, about where Oregon was playing on the Big Ten Network and people on Comcast couldn't watch them. Week 2 was a game on Peacock. It was a horrible broadcast, and not that many people watched it. Now you're going off of a couple of weeks ago having a primetime NBC game, a Friday night game that was on Fox that got over 2 million viewers. Mm-hmm. This week, your primetime window CBS. Next week, your primetime window CBS. This is a run on national television that absolutely helps your recruiting as well.
Yeah, side note here, because I want to get to landing audio coming up next on the actual game itself. I don't know why I was surprised. I was surprised. I saw one of those ratings things tweeted out from last week's games. The CW being more accessible than the Big Ten Network doesn't surprise me. The CW beating ESPN2, that's happened quite a few times.
Multiple times this year.
And I'm a little surprised by that because I think people are so conditioned to ESPN.
I think a lot of it's matchups, dude. Like, fans are smart. We don't want to watch bad games or bad teams. Say what you want about Oregon State and where they're at right now. You know who's interesting? UNLV. Yeah. Are they going to make the playoff? They're on the road. That was a game that they could have lost. That's an attractive game for fans to watch. No different than the game tonight. So I think of fans around the country, it's not about what market you're in or how big. This is why the whole thing is what happens to Oregon State and Washington State is dumb. If you're interesting and you're playing good football, you will get eyeballs and people will watch, especially if you're on a channel that is easily accessible across the entire country. And that's it's an awesome note for Beaver fans that they've had multiple games this year that have beaten Big 12 or ACC games that are on at the same time on bigger networks.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what the game was that I saw yesterday that surprised me. It may have been Baylor, Texas Tech.
They've had a few of those.
ESPN2 at Baylor, Texas Tech, and Baylor's not good. Texas Tech is having a good season for what we thought they would be.
But that's my whole point.
But Oregon State outdrew them by almost 200. I just like that. That's a small non-Oregon note that just kind of surprised me. And I know the CW, we talked about that at the beginning of the year, but it just surprised me a little bit.
It doesn't surprise me because if I know we're in the bubble and we have Oregon State fans that obviously listen to the show and you went to Oregon State, and so mm-hmm. I get that. If I just you take your fandom out of it, going into the weekend last weekend, what game are you more excited to watch?
I want
to
see. Well, if I'm not an Oregon State fan, I want to see what UNLV looks like.
It's not even close for me.
They're the power. They're the Group of Five team. That's
not even close for me, and that's why that game beat it in eyeballs and numbers.
Lanning said this yesterday about cooking. He cooked for his family.
He did. He had a Thursday family dinner. I was surprised.
I like when coaches have normalcy. I read a book, and Tony Dungy believed in this, in getting early, and then families come in and having breakfast with the coaching staff, and then the kids go to school, and then they get done in time to go home for dinner. Whereas, like, I remember Mario coaching in Oregon. I don't know if he left the building at all.
I remember asking Mario years ago in an interview, they had a bye week or a Friday night game, and I said, hey, are you going to sit around and watch football on Saturday? That's kind of cool. You guys get a weekend off. You don't usually get a weekend off. And he laughed and said, are you serious?
Yeah.
We don't have time to watch football, brother. And they asked this of Lanning yesterday, and he was like, yeah, dude, I cracked open a Corona. I sat on my couch and watched football. It was great.
I just think work-life balance is important for everybody, and some of these coaches think they have to work 18 hours a day. I don't think it particularly, I don't think it achieves as much as they think. Anyway, Lanning made chili, and I think Lanning became the everyman of how he makes his chili.
Don't look up the ingredients. Just pour until it feels right.
And I cook this way almost all the time.
97% of the meals I cook, that's how I cook.
Tablespoons, teaspoons, cups, half cups, a third cup. Nope.
Yeah.
We're kind of eyeballing that.
Once in a blue moon, the wife and I will scroll through like a new cookbook and be like, that looks good. Let's try that. And that's one. If I've never cooked it before, how much do I need? Let's
desserts,
follow,
I'll do this.
I'll follow the ingredients. Follow, but everything else that I cook, it's just like, let's throw that in there. See how it tastes.
Well,
but
I'll start with a recipe because you like to know the ratios.
But you're a chili guy. You know how to make a chili. You've won.
Yes.
What percentage of your chilies that you make are freeballing it and following a strict recipe?
You have to know your recipe.
Because I know you do some that are probably free ball. You got to have a few that are free ball every now and then.
Oh, well, I established kind of the baseline. It's like, all right, how much do you want to make? So what is the spice to liquid to meat to vegetable ratio? So you get it. But then, once you kind of know it, then, I feel like a little more garlic this time.
A little flare of this.
I finished with the wine. I'm just pouring the wine till it looks like there's enough liquid in there.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do.
So is it one cup?
You have a basic outline, so it acquires the flavor you want it to have.
If I'm making baked good desserts, I'll follow the recipe pretty closely.
Well, baking, you have to, because that's science, and if you don't get the right leavening agent or everything like that, then you don't get what you're expecting.
However, you're right, but like where I kind of go a little off the script is vanilla extract, and like I'll put a little brown sugar in something. Just make it a little sweeter, a little more vanilla.
A little hint of something.
I go a little above and beyond in that, that regard. Yeah.
That sounds tasty.
This is the only way to make chili. You just eyeball it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever followed a recipe. Now, I'm not a chili cook-off champion like Jason Swigart.
I can make a good chili.
I feel like Sook talked about this yesterday after they did the interview. It was like, there's a very high floor for chili.
It's like pizza. It's hard to have bad chili.
You throw some tomatoes, you got some beans, you got some corn, you got like, it's just, you know, a little spice. Like,
there's levels to it.
There's levels to it. You can do a much better chili, but the floor, you can just throw something together and it's not going to be terrible.
My brother-in-law made chili for his daughter the other day, just like randomly, unprompted, just did it. And I went over there to say happy birthday to her, and I put it in the bowl, and he's like, I just made it. And I'm like, it's amazing to me.
There you go.
Tastes great.
Usually
mustard.
The biggest variable is how much heat I decide to give any particular batch.
Yeah, depending kids, on who you're cooking for. Yes. You got parents that don't like heat, kids that don't like heat. You got to tone it down a little bit.
I did get judged because I put mustard in my chili, and that was weird to everybody.
That's weird to me.
Unusual.
Really? A little weird.
But
I've never done
not
it.
Not unheard of.
Do you put it on a chili dog?
I don't eat chili dogs very often. I know, shockingly. I don't. It's not a staple of my diet.
You look like me.
No,
you
the big one I get is I put cinnamon in my chili. It's very noticeable.
Ah, cinnamon.
I don't make as much chili anymore. I got stomach problems, and chili tends to flare things up. So I'm kind of out on chili.
I feel like you have IBS.
I definitely do have IBS.
I feel like you have like undiagnosed.
The last time
IBS.
I thought I had a kidney stone. You know what I had Wednesday night of that week?
I don't want to know.
A batch of chili.
Was it really?
It was.
Wow.
And I thought I had a kidney stone.
I'm enjoying leftover chili tonight for the baseball game.
Look at that. So.
Beans, the magical fruit.
That's right.
Just took dirt a couple days to toot.
It took me 3 days. I got through it, though.
The matchup part of the Oregon-Illinois game, Dan Lanning's read on Illinois as a team under Bielema. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Don Fisher, 50-year play-by-play man for Indiana. Who would have thought we'd talk to an Indiana play-by-play man? I didn't. I really didn't.
Fun little game this weekend, man. I'm going to miss it live. I'll be able to watch the first half, and then I'll probably be listening to it on my drive home, but one that I'm definitely going to dive into later in the day, because the night slate on Saturday sucks. So I'm going to be able to catch up and watch a lot of games.
Yeah, Don Fisher suddenly has to ask himself, maybe this is more exciting than what the basketball season's going to be.
Indiana basketball's still not relevant, right?
When last time were they good? Jared Jeffries?
Because
Tom Crean went there, did nothing.
Your guess is better than
Mike Woodson's there now.
Maybe Victor Oladipo?
Yeah. Isn't he done with the NBA? That was a long
time. Yeah, he retired. I'm just, when's the last time you thought about Indiana basketball?
When's the last time they were in the tournament? I mean, they probably had a couple of tournament
appearances.
They
probably had some one and duns here and there.
So yeah, 2 years ago they were second round. 3 years ago they were first round. The last time they went on a run in the tournament was 2016. They made it to the Sweet 16. They had Crean had in three times in 4 years.
That was
three times
Crean
in 5
team.
Years. He had Sweet 16 teams in 2011, 2012, 12-13, and then 15-16.
Yeah. A little overrated.
Last time they made it past a...
Win two games, you're in the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 was 2002. They were the they lost in the Final Four.
That was Jared Jeffries.
That was the last time they made it past the Sweet 16.
I remember that. Who was the... Was it Mike Davis? Is that
Mike Davis was their head coach. Yeah, yes, he was.
Yeah.
25-12 that year.
I've been a little bummed with Indiana basketball sucking. I kind of grew up with them being relevant in my life. It's a great atmosphere in Bloomington.
Kind of a fun thing about, I've said this before about the Big Ten move. I'm excited for basketball matchups. Like Oregon playing at Indiana is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. We looked at the Oregon State women's schedule yesterday. When are they coming to the Pilots? We had that going for us.
You got that going for you.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Pretty cool.
Pilots should be a good team. Game. That's like,
yeah. Pilots are a tournament team.
Let's move on. Dan Lanning on yesterday on The Fan every Thursday at 4 o'clock. Stop laughing. Why don't you just turn your mic? Turn his mic off. So tired of this crap. Dan Lanning was asked about his offensive line. Shaky start for them, but their improvements since the start of the season.
Yeah, I think a couple things have happened. We've kind of fallen into a rhythm of who we have up there up front for us. And then, two, we've done a better job of schematically of protecting our guys and putting them in position to be successful. I think it always, falls on both sides. It falls on executing as a player and then us as coaches putting them in good position to be successful. I think Coach Stein's really done a really good job, and Coach Terry and the entire offensive staff done a really good job of putting those guys in opportunities to be successful.
This is where do numbers lie. The math might not be mathing. Oregon is currently ninth in the Big Ten in rushing offense. Are they the best rushing offense in the Big Ten?
No. I don't think that they are.
Really?
I don't. I think they still have issues at times running the football. Now, it's been effective where when they've needed it to be.
Even after what they did against Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, they outrushed Ohio State in that game, but it wasn't like they went bonkers for 230 yards on them, and that's a lofty goal that shouldn't be given to
How
them.
How many teams in the country are running for 230 on Ohio
but
State?
No, I don't think they're the best rushing offense. I still think there's to me, that's the biggest area of need in their offense to continue to grow. Outside of the Michigan State game where they finally were able to break a lot of explosive runs, they haven't done a ton in that area. Now, they ran the ball effectively when they needed to at Ohio State, which was a great sign because you have to be able to be balanced offensively. But I don't think there's any doubt in the last month or so what has taken their offense to the next level is Dylan Gabriel settling in, the protection of him being great,
pass
and them taking shots down the field. Like, that's been the difference from an offense last year where everybody did the whole check down Charlie thing to Bo Nix all year. They're airing it out, man, and I don't know if there's anybody in the country right now that throws a better deep ball than Dylan Gabriel. He is dropping things in breadbaskets. It's incredibly fun to watch.
Is he better than Bo Nix?
Throwing the deep ball, yeah. I don't know about overall efficiency. He still has weird, funky turnovers from time to time where you're like, what were you doing? Why? Okay, you just overshot a guy or you're forcing a ball into double coverage. Like, he will do that more than Bo Nix would, but in terms of throwing the deep ball and taking the top off, yeah, I watching him do that at a high level has been incredibly fun. I mean, you look at their numbers last week. Purdue's rush defense is horrendous this year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody Oregon State ran for like 700 yards on him. Notre Dame ran for 800 yards on him. Jordan James in that game had 10 carries for 50 yards. He didn't have a run longer than 10 yards in that game. And so what was the key to their offense early in scoring 21 points? It was them taking shots and slinging the ball all over the field. So I still think it's an area where growth is needed, and I think part of that could be what I brought up earlier this week, and it's them being limited at the number two spot at running back. I think Noah Whittington is a big drop-off, and if you see more Jaden Lamar and Jay Harris, that those numbers might look a little bit better.
Oregon is 11th in yards per average. They're behind USC, Washington, Rutgers obviously has a good running back, and Indiana. Indiana is ahead of them in this category. Another one from Lanning, and then we'll go to Bloomington. Just Oregon's bread and butter. And what it really is.
Well, I don't think we ever want to be, like I think I've said to you guys before, I don't think we ever want to play left-handed. So we want to be the team that has multiple strengths. And if you decide to take away our run game, then we've got the ability to hit you over the top with a great pass. On the same note, if you're going to be able to defend the pass, we want to be able to, take advantage of run opportunities. So the goal for us is to be balanced to where we can beat you either way.
And I do think they have that ability, which is a great thing to have as an offense. I still would maintain. I think their passing game and their downfield passing game is the strength of the offense right now.
What is the concern with Illinois for you?
The concern is that they have the ability to be physical up front. They can shorten the game. And so if you do, if you play mistake football and you have a turnover or you have some penalties that start to creep up and they're kind of eating the clock and having a 7 or 8 minute drive, all of a sudden you look up, you're like, we've had 3 possessions in the first half and it's 7-7. What's going on? That's what Illinois can do.
If Illinois uglies it up, if they ugly it up, get his guys to show up and just like drag Oregon down a little bit to what kind of game they want to play,
and you have some mistakes and you're not clean and you turn it over or you have penalties, that's when you find yourself in a ball game in the second half.
The physical part of what you just said surprises me a little bit in this. It's not that Illinois being physical isn't what we expect. It would be, for me, Illinois having an ability to match the physicality, if not be more physical.
That's why the fear isn't there necessarily for a loss. But can you ugly the game up and make it competitive in the second half? Potentially. But in terms of winning or losing, their rush offense, to the whole point about being able to run the football, Illinois has got to be able to run the football to win this game. And their rushing offense numbers are not great on the season. And I think the front seven for Oregon's defense is unquestionably the strength of their defense. I think they continue to show that week in and week out. Outside of Genty breaking a bunch of big runs, they've been phenomenal up front. And so I really like that matchup for Oregon.
You excited for the game?
I am excited for the game, man. We only got 5 more of these, dude. I was excited for last Friday, and I know I'm a sicko, but this is like, you got five more, and then you get a Big Ten title game, and then you maybe one playoff game, too. Who knows how long the run's going to go. But
that's where you lose me. Is like
season's almost
Purdue
over,
games.
Man. This is week 8. You only got 4 more games after this. It's almost done.
It's that part of my brain that wants the Big Ten SEC matchups every week. Just be like, just do an NFL season. Make every game interesting.
Every game
for me.
Entertaining. Come on.
So we'll see what happens with Illinois coming to town. The Fighting Brett Bielemas. They're coming in, and maybe they're used to the crowd noise because they've already played at Penn State. We'll have to wait and see on that one. What time's pregame start again?
Pregame will be on at 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, bright and early from a rainy and chilly Eugene, Oregon.
Ah, you've got Dirt, you've got Dusty, you've got Q Newman.
Somebody bring me a coffee and a donut. I could use it.
Absolutely. Well, I don't think you stay away from the donuts.
Give me a donut. I want a donut.
Don Fisher, very long-time play-by-play man for the Indiana Hoosiers. The story of college football, they're hosting game day, and they play the Huskies this weekend. Let's talk to Don Fisher a little bit. We'll get into the Beav game, going to Cal, some more college football, NFL, maybe some World Series, and Sprague in line. But Don Fisher is next on The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 7:35 on your Football Friday. We still got a lot to get to in the next hour and a half of the show. Big one going on in Indiana this weekend. I don't know if you know about it, but there's a big football game out there.
Honest to God, I couldn't have guessed this game would matter at all to us a little bit locally, and no. I would have never guessed game day was going to be there.
We've been doing a show for a long time. I never thought we would do a segment on Indiana football, but here we are because that's what's happening this year, man. They are an unbelievable story. Don Fisher has been their play-by-play man for a long time. He joins us now. Don, good morning to you. I believe if my numbers are correct, I checked that Indiana has 1 8-win season in their program since 1993, and a win this weekend would be an 8-win campaign. Just what has it been like in Bloomington with this all of a sudden new found success in the football program?
Well, it's exploded, to say the least. We've got a new coach named Kurt Cignetti. He has been an absolute remarkable performer thus far, as far as the coach is concerned, but this guy has done magical work with this Indiana football program. And, you know, Indiana is not used to winning football. There hasn't been much winning going on here since the Bill Maurer era back in the 80s and early 90s. In fact, Indiana has had just 3 winning seasons since then. So that tells you how bad it's been over the total number of years. Now, 2 of those winning seasons came under Tom Allen here just a few years ago in 2019 and 2020. But the 2020 season was an anomaly anyway because they were 6-2 that year, had some really close ball games, beat Penn State and Michigan in the COVID year when nobody was around.
Right.
Nobody was able to see anything, but we were doing games remotely and all those kinds of things. So at any rate, this has been a special time for Indiana football. There's no question about it. And to be 7-0 at this point in the season, is remarkable in itself, because you have a coach that comes in for the first year and all of a sudden he's winning like there's been no winning since 1967 here.
Well, Don, I got a question I want to ask you, but now you've made me think here. So he gets hired. He famously this year said, "I win, Google me." How many times did Don Fisher have to Google Kurt Cignetti when he was hired?
I didn't Google him one time. I believed everything he said from the very get-go. He came. He was introduced to the to our basketball crowd at a Maryland ball game when he first got the job. He came out on the floor. He said, "I'm not used to losing." And he says, "And I don't plan to lose now." And he says, "Purdue sucks. Ohio State and Michigan sucks too."
I told you, Dirt. How do you hate this team?
The place went wild, just so you know.
Well, I look, this may or may not be a real thing, there is a part of me, being a petty human at times, that wonders if it is. Is there any part of Mike Woodson that kind of hates that this is happening? Because now it puts more pressure on the Hoops program to capture or keep the mojo going.
Well, I'm sure that there is a little bit of nervousness and anxiety in the basketball program right now, because that program hasn't flourished either over the last few years. And even though they had a couple of teams that went to the NCAA tournament in the first and second year of Mike's tenure here, and this is his fourth season, last year they didn't go, and the crying and the angst and the biting of fingernails was pretty significant last year after the season ended, because obviously there's a lot of pressure on Indiana basketball to be good every year, and it hasn't been as dramatic as a lot of people would like. So, you know, right now there's no question all the focus is on this football team. And it should be, because this team has just done extraordinary things at this point.
We're talking with Don Fisher, longtime voice of Indiana football, Indiana basketball. They host the Huskies tomorrow morning, and College Game Day will be in town. And I want to ask you about that, just the anticipation of a moment like that. We've seen Game Day go a couple of places this year. They were at Cal a couple of weeks ago. They had never been before. The atmosphere was incredible. Just what's been the buildup going into this game? Because it's kind of unique where Washington's limping in a little bit, although they're off a bye. This is a Big Ten Network television game. But College Game Day is in town because of how good the Indiana story is going to be. What's the scene going to be like, you think, tomorrow morning on campus?
Well, it'll be special. There's no question about that. I mean, last week Fox had their pregame show here, and now ESPN's brought their Game Day show here. So it's been crazy, and there's just no question about that. There'll be thousands watching the ESPN portion of it tomorrow, from 9 until noon, Indiana time. And then, obviously, the game starts with Washington, which is my focus at this point, because I think this Washington team is better than advertised. I know that they've got a lot of new faces and those kinds of things, but Jed Fish is a heck of a coach. And when you give a guy an extra week to prepare, and when you haven't had that week yourself, I think that's always a little bit suspect. But think about this. The Nebraska game in Indiana, in the Nebraska game itself, Indiana was like the Cornhuskers, had a week off between ball games. So they had their bye week. That was the first of the two bye weeks we're going to have this year. And Indiana went out and absolutely clobbered Nebraska. I mean, 56-7, a phenomenal performance. Nobody expected that. Nebraska's defense was vaunted coming in, and they looked like whimpering little pups going out the door after that ball game was over with. It was amazing what this team did in that contest. Now, can that happen again this week? Well, Washington's had an extra week to get ready for it, and I think this will be a much tougher test.
I think you guys stole the term black shirts after last week and what you did to Nebraska. I want to ask you, Don, we looked it up, and my co-host mentioned it earlier, 1 8-win season since 93. That is confirmed. Usually there's a couple sevens, there's some sixes, there's a lot of threes, fours, and fives in there too.
Right.
When was the last time Don Fisher was excited going into a football season? Because largely, Indiana thought of as a basketball program. Cignetti gets hired. When was the last time Don Fisher went in totally jacked for Indiana football?
Well, a guy named Terry Heppner became Indiana's football coach back in the 2005 season after they let Jerry DiNardo go. Mm-hmm. And Terry Heppner is an Indiana native. He's from Woodburn, Indiana, up by Fort Wayne, Indiana. This guy came in with a Pied Piper-like personality. He had guys so excited about what he was going to put on the field. And unfortunately, after the first season he was here, He was suffered a brain. He had brain cancer, glioblastoma. We knew that he was probably not going to make it. He finished his second season. In fact, during the second season here, he had two operations and missed a couple of ball games, but came back, finished the season. But Terry Heppner was he had the kind of personality that just everybody loved him. He could recruit. He had everybody in the state believing that he was going to get this thing turned around. And it didn't happen because he passed away after his second year. So that's the last time I was that excited about football here prior to this guy coming to Indiana.
I graduated high school in 05. That's amazing that now that was the last time.
He has a statue right out in front of the stadium.
Terry Heppner does not have a statue, no.
Oh, okay. Isn't there a famous coach up front of the stadium that has a statue, or am I missing thinking a different Big Ten school?
We got a whole bunch of statues here in Indiana, and Bob Knight doesn't even have a statue here right now, but the statues celebrating Indiana basketball is inside the south end zone of the Assembly Hall.
There are
statues in there, and they're pretty special. There's no question about that. Celebrating the five national championships that Indiana's had. So that's where the statues are located, but nothing outside right now other than some monuments, that type of thing.
Gotcha. Hey, okay.
Don, you've been there a while. What kind of statue would you want for yourself? I always get nervous about the idea of a statue because when we see these NFL Hall of Fame busts, I always think they look nothing like the players. So in not wanting to ruin maybe what your face looks like or being misrepresented that way, would you want to be sitting down? Are you standing up with a headset? Are we screaming? What does Don Fisher's statue look like?
I would like that statue to be of somebody else.
Okay.
That is a great answer.
Okay, and then I want to ask you this before we let you go. I mentioned Mike Woodson. I don't know what it is, but anytime I see Mike Woodson on my TV, I just cannot stop staring at kind of the perfect nature of the goatee with the bald head. When you're talking to Mike Woodson in person, do you just stare at the goatee? That goatee's pretty powerful.
No, actually, I don't stare at it at all because I think it would probably make him feel awkward.
Well, I'm an awkward person.
So. I love that. Last one for you, Don, going into the game tomorrow. Backup quarterback, it looks like. I know he played a little bit against Nebraska this past week. You mentioned the Huskies coming off a bye, so it's a stiff test. What do we know about the backup, and what do we expect if he's the guy and has to play the entire game?
Well, Taven Jackson came here. He transferred from Tennessee. He's a kid from Center Grove High School, which is just down the street from where I live. He went to Tennessee his first year. Then he transferred to Indiana and came back here last year as a redshirt freshman. Started the first three ball games of the year, but Brandon Sorsby took over that spot after the first three contests because he was not performing up to expectations of the coaching staff. And so Sorsby took over and was the quarterback for the rest of the season. But Taven has come back, and he could have left after last season, gone on the portal and gone someplace else. He did not. He stayed here. He bought into what Kurt Cignetti was selling, and obviously he's going to get his opportunity tomorrow. But there's no question that Taven has improved dramatically. My color analyst, Buck Sewer, who was the running backs coach for Bill Mallory back in the day, this guy says that he can't believe the transformation in Jackson over the past year in regard to his footwork and the abilities that he has improved on the football field. And Jackson came in last week, played the entire second half, and played tremendous. He had 28 points scored under Curtis Rourke in the first half. Rourke went out at halftime, not able to come back in the second half. Jackson quarterbacked the entire second half and led him to four touchdowns. So, yeah. I mean, it was special. There's no question about it. But Taven's going to have a little pressure. Obviously, this is going to be an opportunity for him. And so we'll see how it plays out. But I think he'll handle it really well.
Can't wait for this one. Should be a fun game. The spectacle in Bloomington will be fun tomorrow morning. Game day's in town. Don Fisher, longtime voice of Indiana hoops, Indiana football, joining us. Have a great call tomorrow, Don. Thanks so much for the time all the way out here in Portland. We really appreciate it.
Well, guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, and best of luck to you guys, too.
Absolutely. Don Fisher, good stuff from him. Yeah, I thought there was – so if I remember correctly, remember when the Duck did his tour, social media tour around all the Big Ten stadiums?
Yeah.
I felt like he pissed off Indiana fans for doing something with a statue with a coach that died.
Well, he said there was a lot of statues.
So maybe
there.
It was a monument or something that he laid on. But I remember, I thought it was Indiana. Listeners can help me out on that. But I thought it was Indiana fans that got livid of, like, how dare you take a picture on that thing because that was dedicated to a coach who passed away. And I could have sworn that that was Indiana, but maybe it was a different team.
Now, do you like him now?
I mean, I like Don Fisher, but nah, screw Indiana. You can't do that to my Huskers. Can't do that to my Huskers and be in my good graces.
Are you kidding me?
Come on. Let's talk a little bit about that game. It is a big one for Jed Fish on the other side of it, looking for a marquee win. They're off of a bye. What do Husky fans want to see? Want to dive into the Beavs a little bit as well. They're down in the Bay Area. We got a lot still to get to back after this on the Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Thanks to the Tex Police for notifying me. It's a rock outside of the stadium that's dedicated to the coach that passed away.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a statue of him, but there's a rock out there dedicated to that coach. And I remember the Duck did their like social media tour, and that was one of the places he took a picture, and then a lot of Indiana fans got very upset about that because I don't think they knew when taking the picture that it was dedicated to a coach who died of brain cancer 20 years ago.
I know that's a random interview to have on a show on a Friday, but you know, Washington's going to Indiana. They're the hot story, game days there, etc. I did actually appreciate Don Fisher basically saying, yeah, I bet Mike Woodson is actually not happy about this.
And I also have not had a lot of fun calling Indiana football for 20 years. It's not been an enjoyable ride. Dude, go look at their history. It is nuts.
No, it's bleak. Yeah,
like, it's wild how bad they've been. Yeah, we know it, but then you pull up the numbers and you're like, dude.
Well,
like,
that's 6-2 COVID season. That was Penix.
That was the Penix year.
DeBoer was the offensive OC. Coordinator. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, under Tom Allen. And then Tom Allen went 2-10, 4-8, 3-9, and then he got fired.
Yeah, I think we know that was Penix DeBoer. I think we know confirmed.
After last year, what happened in Seattle, I think we're going to give them the majority of the credit for that 2020 season. Tom Allen, by the way, also the last coach with 8 wins, and he did it in 2019. So Cignetti has a chance to get there. This is the epitome of a strength versus strength, what wins out and what's the real number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know the numbers might not bear it out in terms of Washington being a top X rushing offense in the country, but you know how I feel about Coleman, their running back. I think he's one of the best backs in the country. He's big. He's physical. He's hard to tackle. You know who has the number one rush defense in the Big Ten this year?
Indiana.
The Indiana Hoosiers. Now, is that a Fugazi stat? Is that a real stat? Because Washington, I think, will, off of a bye, pose a different challenge. Like the last time we had the 9 a.m. Washington game, it was off of a marquee win on the road against Iowa. Quick turnaround. That's hard to do. You've had 2 weeks now to get ready for this game. I don't think the 9 a.m. kick time is going to affect them the way that it did 2 weeks ago. I think Washington has a great chance to win this game, but if Indiana wins it, they could just keep proving me and a lot of other people wrong. They'd be 8-0 for, I would imagine, the first time in program history.
Taven Jackson, who is the one who stepped in for Rorick last week against Nebraska, and look, that game was already favoring Indiana going into the half, but the second half was still pretty impressive. They put up 28 points in the second half of that game against the Cornhuskers. If he doesn't miss a beat, like, if this is more of an offensive thing,
just a system and everybody can function in it.
The way UNLV's backup came in for Saluka, and some think he got better than what Saluka was doing. Jackson was 7 of 8 for 91 yards and 2 TDs. And I hear what you're saying about Washington. You do learn. I'm still interested to see what the time zone stuff does to the Huskies. I know Fish has taken a different approach to this game. I'll go back to that Iowa game, and I'm not going to sit here and say, well, they actually should have won. They ended up getting blown out in that game. But it was, I believe, either 10-10 or 10-7 at one point.
Yeah.
For a decent chunk.
They gave up a late field. The game kind of got away from them late in the second quarter, and then it snowballed in the second half.
And then it snowballed in the second half. Yeah. So, like, can you learn from that? Indiana, last week was probably their biggest test of the season. Nebraska coming to their place.
That's their best win of the year. It's not even close.
It's not close, because beating Northwestern, Maryland, Charlotte, UCLA, that does nothing for anybody.
Yeah.
Getting Nebraska coming to your house, all the expectations. Okay, here comes a legitimate defense. The young stud, Raiola. And they didn't just win dirt. They housed them. And I'm fascinated to see how they handle game day paired with the 9 a.m. kick. And what Washington does, you've got to lean on Coleman here. And I've said this too many times to count with Washington. I don't know why he's not getting more carries. He is a workhorse. Yeah, you want to mix in some play action. You need Rodgers to be good to win this. But Indiana, man, they're just a train right now. That's why I picked Indiana to win this game.
They are a train right now. Their strength of schedule is not great to the point. Their best win on the year is Nebraska, which I think at the time looks great because Nebraska came into that game at 5-1. But that's one of those that I want to fast forward to. Like, what do you think Nebraska's final record is going to be?
But Washington's best win is Michigan.
Oh, I'm not saying Washington's an elite program in any way, shape, or form. I think, could you make an argument that Washington and Nebraska aren't that different?
They're not that different.
Because I think you're splitting hairs there. Nebraska's got Ohio State this weekend. What's the final score of that game going to be in Columbus? Probably not great, right? They got to go to USC later in the year. They got to play Wisconsin later in the year. They got to play. Like, there's a legitimate chance that Nebraska ends the season 6-6 or 7-5. And so I think
they better be 7-5 because they're already angry.
they need to get to at least a bowl game. They got UCLA in a couple of weeks. That should be a win. So that would get them to bowl eligibility. But that's the hard time that I am having with Indiana. No doubt that the story's been great. It's like undefeated Indiana is hilarious and it's crazy. Their best win on the year is Nebraska. And that is very likely going to be a 7-5 at best. Nebraska team at the end of the season. And so I think Washington's bringing a lot of skill to the table off of a bye. It's just tough to face teams coming off of a bye. You're off a big emotional win. So I'm excited for this one tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. In Bloomington. Game day will be there.
Does Woodson have the best facial hair in sports? That is, I mean, Google
it's a
Mike
perfect
Woodson.
Goatee.
It is perfectly
I'm trying to think who's got a
the depth of it, the way it's cut. It looks like he sprays it with
it
something.
Does. It so looks it, fake. It's so perfect it looks fake.
It looks like something you'd buy at the Dollar Tree as like a jokey costume thing.
Like a drawn-on goatee.
And I don't know if there's another person with better face. Maybe Harden with the full beard?
I think it comes down to, do you prefer a goatee or do you prefer a full beard? Because those are different. There's different strengths and weaknesses there.
As somebody can't grow anything.
Anything's good.
You can grow a beard.
Any sort of mustache will do as well.
Yeah, anything. Yeah.
You see the guy in Thursday Night Football last night holding one of the down markers, had the Raleigh Fingers wrap-up stash. I saw he was in the background. Like, look at that guy, man. He's getting some TV time. So a big one for the Huskies tomorrow. I mean, that win would mean a lot for Jed Fish if he could get it. I'm excited for that one, 9 a.m. on Indiana. I want to get to your Beavs in the final hour. They're going down to the Bay Area. What would a win mean for Trent Bray to kind of calm everybody down? We will get to our NFL pressure cooker. We will sprague the line at 8:30. Get your fake sponsors in, 503-864-6326. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.